Good morning. Any joyful, happy blessings. we've had a request to speak a little more on attention and locating ourselves from that stability. So our attention is remaining focused on what is at hand. For instance, a moment ago, I was aware of picking up this object. I was quite aware of the sound and the visual of water pouring in to this object. My mind was not anywhere else but on what was being presented at the moment. So that is our attention remaining focused. Now, I know we all can do this. Some of the times, but what we want to do is find that place, it's already there, recognize that place of stability already is, and to look out from there. So the attention is remaining focused on what is at hand in the moment, and not letting mind wander off into the scenes of duality. Okay. So I think, as we spoke earlier, remaining with your attention focused, because wherever your attention is, there is your energy. So if attention is on a finite limitations, if we have allowed the mind to wander in and we just begin maybe daydreaming or following a thought, before you know it, the thought is somewhere down a negative rabbit hole. So the attention, if attention is on that finite limitation, then there so too is our energy. And where goes our energy, there then is our seeming experience of the day, so to speak. For instance, again, if our attention is on the negative, then our day does seem to be about negative things, negative ideas, negative actions, negative feelings. And those are the times when it feels like God has left. For there is probably no peace and no joy when our mind is so attuned or attached to the negative thoughts or the negative feelings or the negative emotions. But let us ask why. And the response is, it's not because of a negative thought. There's nothing right or wrong about negative thoughts. Nothing right or wrong about a negative thinking. line of thinking. It is because we have attached our attention to it and have then let that negativeness lead us to further thoughts of negativity or further actions of negativity. So in and of itself, the negativeness, there's nothing right or wrong to it. There's actually nothing right or wrong to you following a negative thought. But that doesn't lead to liberation. It doesn't lead to freedom. And it seemingly removes us from our innate presence of joy and peace. So back to locating ourselves in that stability of this attention, keeping ourselves at attention. It is more about firstly locating ourselves, and these are just words of pointing, but it's seemingly more about locating ourselves and being aware of the stability in the stillness, and then keeping attention on the self that already is. So by recognizing that there is this sense of stability within us, first bring our attention there. Bring your attention to what already is. Okay. We don't need to find the stability. We don't need to try to get it. We just need to recognize it's already there. Okay. So we recognize that the stability is there. Now, how do I maintain in that stability? Well, while during your practicing times, you keep turning your attention within. Okay, if it's wandering out there, again, the breath, the turning with back within. Letting what was seemingly finite or constricting to letting that just flow. And just being back recognizably and consciously in that stillness. So the stillness is always present. The stability is always present. So you don't have to seek that. You don't have to try to find it. Recognize it's already there. And as we practice recognizing when we have allowed our attention to go outward, recognizing that, and then doing what we do, take a breath, okay, letting go of that contraction, letting it go. And then what is there just naturally expresses itself. The peace, the joy, the stability, it's just a natural expression. So we recognize the stability of keeping our attention on the reality of ourself as the essence of pure consciousness, pure conscious awareness, and resting in that. So there lies your stability, there lies your freedom, and it is again always within the recognition that when my attention is going outward, the recognition of that happening and the recognition that take a breath, Let that contraction release. And you will find that you are still in the very presence of your own being. You've not left there. The only thing again that happens is your attention turns elsewhere. So I'd like to do a little practice in regards to that, that might be helpful. So just take that breath. And as you turn your attention completely to that breath coming in and follow it into, down, and through the body. And then again, the outgoing breath, full attention. Outgoing breath, what it feels like, what it sounds like. Are there any sensations tingling in the body as the breath comes in or the breath goes out? Just a full awareness of a breath coming in and a breath going out. And with your focus, okay, with your focus on the reality of you, that sweet silence is felt emanating from within. Okay. And that sweet stillness is the essence of you. The essence of your own being. Okay. So now find an object in your room, anywhere in the room, and turn your full attention to it. But without comments, without any adjectives, without mind telling what that object is all about. If mind attempts to interpret the object, let it pass. And look at the object from the stability and energy of the stillness that you are resting in. When seeing any object and thoughts and feelings are objects, just as what we might call a material object, if I do not open the link to finite thoughts of habitual conditioned thinking, to labeling, imagination, and fantasy, then what is actually there? Remember, you are looking out from the stability of the silence and the stillness. There is before you the presence of an object. Any attempts of mind to speak to what it is or what it's about, you allow it to pass by. And you can do that with any objects around the room that your eyes might happen to see. Do it for a few moments at a time. And then pass to another object. So, excuse me, in that exercise, could you feel the pulling of mind? Were you able to just let mind pass by, thoughts pass by, and see the essence of the object? Or actually, the nothingness of the object. Okay. How was that? Some comments or questions?
Mary?
Yes.
That was extremely helpful to me.
Okay, good.
And it feels like looking at the object from that stable presence that I am, this very clear seeing. There was a strength in it.
Yeah. Yes. You could almost say a power to it.
I was going to
feeling.
Yeah, it's like a oneness. Wow. I was missing something, and you really helped me see something today.
Great.
Thanks, really.
Great.
I think I was missing knowing myself as the stable stillness.
Yes.
And moving from that and looking from that.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thanks.
Anyone else with a question or a comment? One of the things about our sense of separation is the mind's ability to label, analyze, judge, perceive, imagine. And as the mind is allowed to do that, it perpetuates a feeling or a sense of separation. So when we allow the mind, and truly we do allow the thoughts to take us away, they don't have the power to do that. But we surrender our innate power, being that place of stability and silence. We surrender that to follow a thought. And that is a habitual happening. Okay. So to bring us out of that deep sense of separation, we begin to no longer allow the mind its way. We don't let it have its way with just coming up with the thoughts and saying, this is separate from you and this is... You are at the point now that when the mind begins its yama yama, when the mind says this is separate from you, or that feeling flows through that I'm separate from this, you begin to understand, because we so often speak of oneness, but to actually experience the reality that that's all that there is, you have to look at the thoughts, recognize they don't have the power to push me down a rabbit hole, and take that breath and return to yourself, return to what is real. What is real is that stable silence, that stable stillness, and look from there. If you do this practice, and I suggest always that it's not a forever thing. What it is a practice to begin to see the fallacy of mind's expression of separation. So the practices that we do, they're not forever things. They're to just kind of stabilize more deeply in what already is and begin looking out from there instead of looking out from the idea of being a separate entity. But the more that you do that, but I don't suggest that you do it, you know, like 5, 6, 20, 30, that, no. Just when you're sitting and your eyes land on an object or something, and mind wants to say right away, oh, that's that beautiful glass piece that you found at this place, and this person was there that day, and that was a lovely thing, and you got a good, you know, instead of allowing the mind to send forth its litany of what that object is all about, you kind of cut it off at the pass. And you take that breath and you just come back into the awareness of the reality of your own being. And then notice that object from there, as opposed to allowing mind to tell you what it is. Mind will always speak separation. Oh, it may wander into areas of, gee, I'd love to experience this oneness, but mind is always speaking of separation. So, and that's fine. It's neither good nor bad. Thoughts are just thoughts. They have no power of their own. So let them be whatever they are, but you are there in the knowing that that's not truth. That's not reality. The reality is here within, in my stillness and silence, and allowing the interpretation to come up out of the silence and not from the chaos of finite thoughts. So the little practicing with different objects as your eyes land on them, or your awareness becomes aware of them. Again, look at them from the place of being. All right. So in this practicing, now we all have to use the words of the language to communicate. And sometimes it feels tricky because we perhaps are speaking to someone and we use the terms, my daughter or my son, or my house is over there, or I live such and such, and are filling out a form and you have to put in that birthday. You have to put in that phone number. You have to put in that address. All ideas with a feeling of separation to them. So when you are in conversation with anyone, recognize, yes, these are words that sound like separation, but I am looking out from within and knowing that there isn't any. So it seems sometimes that as we become more and more stable in the reality of our being, that the words we have to speak seem contrary to what is reality. And as you settle more into that, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter if you have to fill out a form with name, birth date, and address. It doesn't matter if you're speaking to someone and you have to use the terms to express what they're asking, the terms of my this or my that. So hopefully that shines a little light on something you may have been wondering about. Okay. Questions, comments?
Mary?
Yes.
It's Kate again. You mentioned following your breath, and you also mentioned allowing contraction to relax.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels like the thoughts, I'm going to use ones that really are strong for me, is food thoughts. Like my mind says it wants to eat something. And, okay. And they seem extremely strong to me. Like, and it seems to me like the thought creates this hunger almost in my body. Like there's mm-hmm. like, push pull, you know, it almost drives, it's driven. And so it's noticing the thoughts, but it's also, I guess the breath helps the body relax.
Yes, it does.
To come to that contraction, because there's definitely a contraction to the thought in the,
yes. Yes.
In the body.
Right.
It almost like makes it personal to me. Do you know what I mean?
It's like, if there's a person there, it would sound personal.
It feels like.
But if there's no person there, it wouldn't sound personal. So it's telling you that there is still a personal identity there.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the breath, yes, most of us do not breathe deeply enough. And when we're in that state, you know, the muscles usually tend to tense up.
Mm-hmm.
So we call that, that's like contracting. So you're given the opportunity now to just let everything release, and you're releasing the contraction of a negative thought or some kind of emotion or a feeling or something that's passing through your awareness, and
mm-hmm.
taking that breath, just letting it release and be with that breath from that place of withinness, from stillness. There is, yes, it's like an automatic response. The body just is like saying, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, and the muscles just kind of relax in that. But the thoughts that come, it could be another thought. The thought is kind of says, I am hungry, I should eat something. But it could just likewise be a thought that says, you're not there yet. Or it could be a thought that, you should go out and chop that tree down. Or it could be a thought like, you know, take some food to your neighbor. A thought is a thought is a thought is a thought. And there's not a one of them that has any power nor presence over you. So the thought that is saying, and again, you could view that thought as an opportunity. Okay. Here's that thought that says, you should eat something, or I'm hungry. I would suggest that you take that thought and you go sit the body down and question the thought. Where is the one that is hungry? You want to meet the one that is hungry, is what we're asking at that point. So what is taking place is you're asking mind to show you that separate person that's asking to be fed. So the thought comes up, I'm hungry. Okay. And you sit down quietly. Okay. Where is this one that is hungry? I should like to meet them. When you question mind, again, you are returning, you're stopping it from going out here, and you're bringing it back here. Mind is not going to have an answer for who's hungry. It's just a thought. And if an abstract seems to come out and say, well, Alice is hungry. Okay, well then, who is Alice? Where is Alice? Mind isn't going to be able to go anywhere with that. So what this practice is helping to understand that these are just thoughts, but there's no one here for those thoughts to be about. There's no person here for those thoughts to be about. They're just thoughts. Okay. So you stay as you are, and you question those thoughts again. As you viewed an object, you question the thoughts from that place of stability and stillness and silence. And you find, by the end of that, let me know what you find. No, I'm not going to tell you, but let me know what you find when you have questioned the thought that is saying something that is not truth. Because that thought, there's no truth in that thought because there's no person there to be hungry. If anything is to transpire with the body form where it is to be fed, then it will transpire. It will just take place, but there won't be the thinking, oh, I'm hungry, I need to prepare something, what should I have, what's in the fridge? Okay, all of that will not be taking place because you are literally saying there's no person here to be hungry. And you go within, and that's where the knowingness is. But again, if hunger is a trueness in the body, or if there is some food to be given into the body, it will just take place. You'll probably find that it's different kinds of food.
Yeah,
it might be more vegetables, more fresh food, more fruits, more perhaps even more liquids or something of that nature. It won't be, and I know from what you're talking about, it won't be that just running to the cabinet to grab something because the thought said, I'm hungry, I need to eat something. And then responding to that thought as if it were a truth. You just kind of want to cut it off at the pass. Mm-hmm. I mean, if the body needs to be fed, it will be fed. I mean, there's no issues about that. But what the issue is, we don't want the thought to be directing the ship or believing that that thought is a truth. Truth cannot be in a thought or spoken. I can't even speak the truth. Even the words I am that I am are all open to concepts. And that's supposedly an absolute truth. But the awareness, the knowingness of that has to come from that silence, that place of solitude within us. Our very nature has to come from there. And if the body is to be fed, there will be an impulse. There'll be something coming up out from the silence. And you'll find yourself preparing something and you hadn't even been thinking about it. There'd been no thoughts about it. That help?
Very much.
Okay. So again, it's the being in that awareness that the thought is not relaying truth. Because if the thought, I am hungry, were truth, then why wouldn't the thought, I'm not there yet, be truth? Or the thought, I'm not good enough, be truth? So there's no truth in a thought. It's just something rising in consciousness. I suggest again, look at every thought that pulls you in some direction. Look at it from that place of stillness and look at it as an opportunity to go into that stillness and just see what's going on. So look at it as an opportunity for, but not, do not look at it as being the truth. Questions, comments. All right. Let's step into that silence. Take that breath. In the silence, just be still and know that I am God. Let us pray. Most beloved self, I am that I am. In my silence, all is made known. In my silence, there are no desires, hopes, or wishes. In my silence, I remain as I am. Amen. Om Namaste.